Okay, good evening, everybody. Welcome back to our learning at Sha'arei. On this lovely summer evening, we are learning L'ilui Nishmas and the Zeicher Nishmas, Miriam Frill, Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzchak, Allah HaHasham, Hasham Neshet Havan Aliyah, in the merit of our Torah. Also, I hope with permission of the Chabura and the Frun family that it is my maternal grandmother's Yurtzei tonight into tomorrow. Aliyah Neshama and Zechiris Neshama for Beilat Sira, Bas Rav Yoshua Asher, as well as her three-year-old daughter. I remember her three-year-old daughter who was murdered in the Holocaust from her first marriage, and her husband was murdered, and her family. Rivka Bracha Hashem Yukum Dama, who is just one of more than a million children who were murdered by the villainous Nazis. And here we are coming up to Tisha B'Av, of course. Friday is Rosh Chodesh, Friday is Yortzeit of Aaron HaKohen, and the time when we mourn for all disasters that have befallen our people. Umach Hashem Dima Me'al Kol Panim, V'Cherbas Amo Yasser Me'al Kol Ha'aretz. We are on page 125 of the second Sefer, but we're just going to go back to 124 just to recap the last vignette, sort of, that we related. Bottom of page 124, it was a story about the Chazon Ish and shoes. Once, a person with torn shoes went in to see the Chazon Ish. And the Chazon Ish inquired as to why he hadn't bought new shoes. He answered, he didn't have the money. The Chazon Ish asked, did you ask Hashem for the money to buy shoes? No, said the man. I'm ashamed to ask him for shoes. It's not dignified. And this is something that we've been speaking about. That we don't only ask Hashem for the small, for the big things, we must also ask Hashem for the small things. The Chazon Ish told him, you should know your behavior does not stem from a bashful fear of Hashem. This is a lack in your relationship with the Creator. Top of page 125. If you would really feel Hashem is your father, if you would really feel he's here, you would not hesitate to ask for anything. When you were a child and your shoe tore, and this is a great example, you weren't ashamed to ask your father or your mother to buy you a new pair unless you knew they didn't have money. You weren't embarrassed. You weren't embarrassed. The children are embarrassed to say, mommy, I need this, and mommy, I need that. They don't wait till it's torn, until it's ruined, to say they want a new one, and they're not embarrassed. If you knew he had the money, would you be ashamed to ask your parent for a shoe? Certainly not, said the Chazon Ish. Can the hand of Hashem be limited? That is a paraphrase of a pasuk from when Hashem said to Moshe, Yad Hashem tiksar, when Moshe Rabbeinu said, when am I going to get meat for these people? In Parshas Baloscha, certainly Hashem does not lack anything, and you should not hesitate to ask for all your needs. So we spoke about that last time. However, when I read about shoes, I'm learning through Rav Schwab on Tefillah, specifically in Berakas HaShachar. Well, that's the beginning. So we're learning. So come, ladies. Ian Tfila.
It's amazing.
So Ian Tfila on. So when I read this week, when I read about shoes, I didn't think about last week. But this week, when I read about shoes, the Gemara says that when the person puts on shoes, that's when you're supposed to make the bracha of Sha'asali Kol Tzarki. So one beautiful vart that I heard a long time ago is why, when you put on your shoes, do you say Sha'asali Kol Tzarki? Sha'asali Kol Tzarki is Hashem has made for me all my needs. Why not a different bracha with shoes specifically? So a person acknowledges when they make the bracha of Sha'asali Kol Tzarki, Hashem made for me my needs, my life fits me exactly, just like shoes have to fit you exactly. You can wear a sweatshirt that's a little bit too big. It's okay if the sweatshirt's a little too big. It doesn't have to be exactly your size. You could wear a skirt that's a little too long. You could wear a cap that's a little too loose. But when it comes to shoes, if they're too small and if they're too big, they're going to pinch your foot and you're going to get blisters and you won't be able to walk. It's not comfortable. It's our culture. It means my life fits me exactly. Just like shoes must fit me exactly, so too my life fits me exactly. And it's a very strong awareness and acknowledgement of everything I need and everything I have is exactly as the Ribono Shel Olam wants. And therefore, when I perceive a lack in my life, it's my perception and not from the Ribono Shel Olam. However, Rav Schwab has a very beautiful piece, and I made copies so that you can all look along with me. Please pass it out. We're going to go through this piece together, okay? We don't, okay, I should have clarified. We don't do that halachically. We say it in the order of Berkas HaShachar, but that is what the bracha really is referring to, donning of your shoes.
But when they were first instituted, it was the way you were getting
ready. Right, when you put on your belt, okay, so when you put on your shoes, okay. But again, we don't do that. Like Zokev Kefufim, for example. Sheyochim Liz Kof V'la'amod Min Hamita. right? So that means really, not halachically how we practice, when you get up in the morning and get off the bed, that is when it is appropriate, or when you should say, or when you should have the kavana of zokiv kafuvim. And he says beautifully by a pokeach ivrim, Rav Schwab says, what should you do by pokeach ivrim? It makes sense. When would you say pokeach ivrim in light of this? When you open your eyes, you say pokeach ivrim. When you get off the bed, you say zokev kafuvim. When you put on your shoes, you say shasali kazaki. We don't do it that way. Don't go tomorrow morning and start making these brachos at the points that I've just said. Okay, so we're not going through all the Birkas HaShachar tonight. I already learned through his shot on those brachas. It's very beautiful, but I want to specifically talk about the bracha of shoes because that's where we're up to in the Sefer. But for example, Pokeach Ivrim. So what is, now we don't make it right when we open our eyes, but that is when we should make it. I saw that the rescuers who were in the cave for the whole time and now have to have patches and dark sunglasses on because they were in the cave for over a week. They can't just come out and be exposed to light because their eyes would be totally blinded. So when should we really say Pokeach Ivrim? When we open our eyes, but we don't. But Rav Schwab says, Min ha-ra'ui, this gar ha-inayim. Okay, I'm not reading from the handle yet. I will tell you when we're on the handle. I'm saying that Zokiv Kufufim, the intention is when you get off the bed. Pokeach Ivrim, Min ha-ra'ui, this gar ha-inayim l'rega, v'lachashov e'chaisa nir'eis mitziuto, Im chas v'sham nisharti b'matzav kazeh. What should you think before you say pokeach ivrim? You should close your eyes because again, we're not doing it right when we open our eyes. We're saying moda ani. You should therefore pause before pokeach ivrim. Close your eyes for a second, for 5 seconds, for 10 seconds. And Rechman Atzan, imagine that was your whole life. Now open your eyes and now make the brach of pokeach ivrim. And when are you supposed to say mal bisha rumi? When you have a beged lilbush, when you get dressed. Again, we don't do this, but each of the brachas has a specific kavana. Going back to the Chazon Ish's story of shoes, it made me think of what I'm learning through, which is, I'm up to this, shasal gazarki. So I gave it to you in your handle so you could all look. Kishano al mina alav. One of the handouts, the columns are backwards. Okay, there are two columns. If you have it the wrong way, I'm starting with. Does anyone have it the wrong way?
Yeah.
Do you want the right way?
No,
fine.
I have a choice.
That was the first copy I made, and then I realized I had to switch the papers around. Here we go. Kishan. Ladies, come. Okay, this is like spring fever tonight. But it's not spring. Okay. Kishano al mina alav yivarech sha'asali kol tzarki. Okay, that's what we just said. So you all said when we put on our shoes, we say sha'asali kol tzarki. No, not today. But understand the kavana. We started with one insight. Just like my shoes must fit me exactly, it's an acknowledgement that my life fits me exactly. But here we have such a beautiful pshat. V'hainu sheni'ilas hamina alayim hi ha'pu'ula ha'achrona l'seder hakima b'boker. Shasali kol tzarki, it's the final thing that you do in your order of the day. It's the last action that you do in your order of getting up in the morning, right? Because first you get up and then you get dressed. I'm not talking about the washing up and the answers. In the order, the last thing you do, and it's true, is put on your shoes before you're about to leave the house. Umode l'hakadosh baruch hu, next line. Oh no, not next line, just you see the gap. Umode l'hakadosh baruch hu, what are you saying or acknowledging or doing with when you put on your shoes? Mode, he gives thanks to l'hakadosh baruch hu, shehiz mino kol tzarke halavisha. So pasha psha, once you put on your shoes, you have everything you need, because you could have the most beautiful clothing, but if you don't have shoes, you can barely walk out the front door. The gravel, my parents used to have a cottage up an hour away from Toronto. Toronto, they called them a cottage, the summer house. And we always remember having to walk to the, what they call the sandy beach. It was like a 2x2 patch of sand. It's a lake. It's not what we imagine here. And that if we would walk through the driveway to the, quote, sandy beach, again, like a piece of sand this big with Lake Simcoe lapping up the sand. Beautiful. So if you walked without shoes, it was very hard because you're walking on the gravel and the little stones and the grass is scratchy. So why is it shehizmi though called tzarkei halavisha? Because you could have all the most beautiful clothing in the world. If you lack shoes, those beautiful clothing are not going to help you the least, because where are you going to get? Basically, nowhere. Even think about it, if you get a little pebble in your shoe, if you're walking and you have a teeny tiny pebble in your shoe, you feel it right away. Okay? So when you put on your shoes, Modal Akash Baruch Hu Shehiz Mino Kol Tzarkei Halavisha. V'shavach, no.
V'shavach.
Okay. V'shavach halaz mora al heyos ha'adam sameach v'chalko. Now he's going to get a little bit deeper. This paragraph is so geschmack. You're welcome to keep this handout if you want. What is this shevach? It demonstrates about man that he is happy with his portion. That really relates to the first insight that I said about shoes. By the way, I don't have a b'shem amr for the first insight I told you. I cannot remember where I heard it. I don't know. I have no idea where I first heard it, but it fits beautifully. Pun intended. Get it? It fits beautifully. So if your shoes fit you and you accept that your life fits you and your nisyonos fit you, you're sameach b'chalko. V'lachein. Habrach. He pointed out something so interesting. The previous brachas were pokeach ivrim. Is that yachid or rabim?
Rabim,
ivrim, malbish arumim. Malbish arumim is yachid or rabim? Rabim, matir asurim. I just saw this afternoon on Yeshiva Wellness. Did anybody see that Hadar Golden's cookie batter, that Hadar Golden's father, Anamim from Chaim Kanievsky Shlita. Did anyone see? You know who Hadar Golden is? He was captured 4 years ago in Mifsa Tzok Eitan, and his body's being held by Hamas, and they don't want to, of course, release him, along with Aron Shaul. He has been declared dead in battle, and his father just met with Rav Chaim Kanievsky Shlita, and he got Divrei Bracha, and Rav Chaim listened to the situation, and Hadar Golden's father gave him a sefer that they published, and Rav Chaim Kanievsky said it should be a schus for Hadar for his release. Talking about Matir Surim. It's for the pilot. I'm not just davening for myself that I am not bound and shackled. That's why, by the way, Rav Schwab says, and it's so interesting, my son, who has 2 cochlear implants, asked me this last year, does someone who's blind have to say pokeach ivrim? At the time, I didn't know. I wasn't learning through this piece. I didn't know. He asked me, but he does. Why? Because you say for the whole world, which exactly fits into the pshat, that it's Lashon Rabim. You're not only saying pokeach ivrim for yourself, matir asurim, zokev kafuvim. You're saying it for the whole world. Okay. But when you get to Sha'asal Li called Tzarki, 1 second, please. When you get to Sha'asal Li called Tzarki, what's the difference now? Now you're Lashon?
Yeah.
Who are you talking about? You yourself, yes.
No, I'm just saying that.
Yes, yes, yes. On a deeper level, absolutely.
You'll have to be hearing or seeing.
Absolutely. Yes. Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem. We're talking about Pasha Pshat here. There's much deeper levels on these brachos. Okay, Ivrim, on the Pasha Pshat, as Rav Schwab says, close your eyes before you say the bracha, and imagine, Chalila, that a person can't see. Okay? Okay. So let's go, ladies. V'lachein habracha zos hi hayichida shenemra b'lashon yachid v'lo, and you do not say sa'asat sarki b'nei ha'adam. It would make much more sense to say it for the plural, but really you're only saying it for yourself. By the way, this can also help us understand the vartlech that we began with, which is, my shoes have to fit me. My nisayon is tailored for me. Not your nisayon's for you, your shoes for you. My nisayon's for me. Okay. Why, according to Rav Schwab? Oh, this is so beautiful. I sent it to my brothers. Shemidas hahistapkus. I asked my brothers what that means. Does anyone know midas hahistapkus is?
Like to be satisfied.
Wait, I can only hear one at a time. No, I know what it is. I'm asking. My brothers told me. Yeah.
I thought it means to be satisfied.
To be satisfied with what?
Content with your lot.
But not just sameach b'chalko. It means to be satisfied with a little. You need a little bit of gashmis. You don't need so much. It's a little bit different than... What? That's exactly what my brother said. That's exactly right. Yes. My brother said, I don't know the context, but it's mistapek b'mu'at. So it's not just sameach b'chalko. It's dafka pas b'melech tochel, say Chazal and Pirkei Avos. Kachi darka shal Torah. Pas b'melech tochel. It's happy when you have a piece of bread to dip in a little bit of salt. It's mistapek b'mu'at. Exactly. That's what my brother said to me. It means being, not only being content with what you have, but being satisfied with a little. You don't need so much gashmias.
Being low maintenance.
What?
Being low maintenance.
Low maintenance.
Perfect. We have a new definition. Okay. Actually, when my brother told this to me, I did not write in here. This is not my sefer. It's my son's sefer. I said, he's Kanina, 12 and a half. I said, I'm not going to write in here. He says, you could write in here. I said, no, I'm not going to write in your sefer. But me, this hayistapkus is low maintenance. It's a very good definition. Okay. So let's go. Shemidas ha-histapkus, shayachas, oh, this is so geschmack. Shayachas rak b'nogel etzarche ha-adam atzmo. Sometimes we're worried about other people's gashmias. more than sometimes. We talk about the houses people build, the vacations they take, the simchas they make, the cars they drive, the clothing they wear. Midas ha-histapkus b'me'ut, which is what you and my brother both told me, sha-yachas rak b'nog le-tzarche ha-adam atzmo. I worry too much about the gashmius level of other people. Vis-a-vis my own gashmius level, in other words. If I was making that simcha and I had that house and I took that vacation and I had that car, I wouldn't worry so much. But what does it indicate if I'm so worried about that level that I feel I have a lack? If I was on that level, I wouldn't be talking about that level because I would be on that level. So it's shayach, when it's nogea, it's very hard to translate this, but I'm trying, hopefully Hashem should help us understand to the best of our ability, translate it. Shayachas rak binogea letzarcha adam atzmo. Ve'alav lismoch b'chalko, ve'ein lihishtamesh b'midazu binogea l'chelak shanasan ha-kadosh baruch hu la'acherim. Stop worrying about what other people have. I have to have midas ha-istapkus for myself. And I have to be happy, and I shouldn't apply this midah to what Hashem gave other people. Stop measuring what other people have. I need to be happy with whatever I have, and I need to stop applying this. B'midazu b'nogel l'chalek shenatana kodesh baruch hu l'akeh l'acherim. Aval, how should it be vis-a-vis other people? Yivakesh alav rachamim, v'yidag l'malus masha yachsolov. Worry about others. Beg for rachamim for them. They should have what missing is filled. V'yira lehitiv luzula so v'chol masha be'efsharus. And it is worthy to seek the good for others with in any way possible. Now he's going to then relate this to Avraham Avinu. So the first thing that he just told us, let other people enjoy what they have. I have to work on the midah histapkus. What is the word? My brother said bimut, like from little. Shani, what did you say? Pronounce it.
The way I wrote it, mishtapik b'mu'ah.
Right, so that's, I just want to see how my brother wrote it. He didn't write it in Hebrew, he wrote it in English. Exactly, bimu'ah. Exactly, from like me'ah, a little bit.
Yeah.
Right, okay. So, sha'asali, called sarki, is in the lashon yachid. What I have is right for me. For other people, I should worry about their gashmis. I should want them to have more. I should want things to be okay with them. You know, there's a saying, I don't know if it's a master of the Musar movement, you should worry about your ruchnis and somebody else's
gashmis.
Not in a negative way, in a positive way. Daven for them. They should have everything that they have. Let's review that paragraph again. I'm trying not to interrupt myself. Kishino almina alav, start at the beginning. Yivarech sha'asali kol tzarki. I'm just going to recap very briefly here, that the shoes are the last thing you put on, the last thing you don. You could have the most beautiful clothing, if you don't have shoes, not going anywhere. V'shavach halaz mora al heyos ha'adam sameach b'chalko, which is the term you used, correct? V'lachem, but it's even more than sameach b'chalko. It's histakus b'miut. B'mu'at. Usually I can't pronounce the Hebrew words. The English words, I mean. Okay. V'shavach halaz mora al heyos ha'adam sameach b'chalko. V'lachem, habracha hazos hi ha'yechid ha'shenemar b'lashon yachid. We don't say matir, we say matir asurim. Zokif kafufim pokechirim malbish arumim. When it comes to li called tzarki, shasali called tzarki. And nosh asa tzarki b'nei ha'adam. Shamidas ha'histapkus. Being satisfied, being content with a little bit. Shayachas rak b'nogei letzarki ha'adam atzmo. It's shayach and it's nogeya to the needs of me, myself. But I love this moch b'chalko. I have to be happy with what I have. Ve'ein lihishtamesh b'mizadu zu. I should not apply my midas ha'histapkus to my neighbor. I shouldn't say, oh, why did they make that simcha? They should tone it down. Don't worry about their simcha. I need to tone it down if I want to tone it down. I apply the midah ha'histapkus to myself. And not to somebody else. Ein lihishtamesh b'midazu b'nogei l'chelak shenasan HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'achirim. Don't go being such a kana'a. Don't go being such a machmir. Don't take this midah, which is sha'asali kol tzarki, and apply it to what God gave to other people. Yivakesh alav rachamim v'yidag l'malus masha yachsar lo. Worry about your friend. Beg for mercy. He should have his everything that he's missing should be filled for him. V'yira lehitiv luzul aso b'chol masha be'ef sharuso. Yes. Yes.
A few months ago, I think we talked about the idea of shoes and how it makes you more sensitive. And now we
we talked about, like,
it was more than a few months ago.
Yeah, time flies. And we were talking about how, like,
no, I'm not saying that negative. I'm happy you remember. Yasher koach, yeah.
And we were talking about how when you're not wearing shoes, it makes you so much more sensitive. That's
correct.
Moshe had said before he go to the stand, he has to take off his shoes.
Yes, correct.
So here it's so interesting that they're asking us when we put on our shoes. Like, we shouldn't be so sensitive with what our friends have. Like, take on that extra layer of protection or, you know, separation when you're comparing yourself to your friends. Take away that sensitivity of be comparing yourself.
So putting on the shoes means don't be so sensitive towards what other people have vis-a-vis your station in life.
I don't compare myself to them. Like, I'm not so sensitive.
Very nice.
I have my shoes on.
Right? Beautiful. Very nice. Very, very nice. Okay, now he's going to get into Avraham Avinu. Now, I want you to know something. This is a Ramban that I've known. I was so happy to learn this, because this is a Ramban that I've known since high school days. And I remember, let's go. Some people don't like this Ramban. Why don't they like this Ramban? Because they don't understand the Ramban. That's why some people don't like the Ramban, because they don't understand. If the Ramban signs something, then it's MS. And if I have a problem with it, it means I have a problem, not the Ramban. Torah is a problem. So let's look at the Lashon of the Ramban. Does anybody know, before you go inside, what the Ramban says, famous Ramban, what the Ramban says about Avraham Avinu going down to Egypt? Beginning of Perek Yebeis, Vayhi Ra Ba'aretz, Vayered Am Mitzrayim. So don't look in and then answer the question. If you didn't look in, who knows what the Ramban says about Avraham going down to Egypt? Okay. What? Besides for me, since high school, does anybody know this? Yeah, and I've relearned it since high school. But does anyone know what the Ramban says? No. Okay, let's look. You might be surprised, and you're going to see soon why some people don't like the Ramban. Very strong Lashon. Umatzinu ba'avram avinu. Vayihi ra'av ba'aretz. Okay, this is one of his nisyonos, by the way. The first nisayon, according to the Bartunura, was Kibshan Ha'esh and the Parshas Noach. Next nisayon is Lech Lecha. Next nisayon is Vayihi ra'av ba'aretz. Vayihi ra'av ba'aretz, right? God just said it's going to be great for you. So he finally schleps. He's 75 years old. As Sarah, Yishto, as Lo, Ben Achiv, as Hanefesh, Asher, Asu, Becharan. They make it to the promised land and everybody is starving. So it's a nisayon. What kind of promise is this? You just told me I should go here. It's going to be geshmak, greener pastures. I get here, and there's nothing to eat. Vayihi ra'av ba'aretz, vayered Avraham Mitzrayim. So what does he do? He goes down to Egypt, lagur sham, to sojourn there. Ki kaved ha'rav ba'aretz. Not only was there a rav, it's very kaved. Vayihi kasher hikruv lavo Mitzrayim. And it was when he came close to come to Egypt. Vayomer asara ishto, hinei na yadati ki isha yifas mara'at. Okay. Interesting series of psukim, a lot to talk about, but we're not going to try not to go off on tangents here like we could, but I want you to see what the Ramban says. Because Sav HaRamban, Nachmanides writes, Bizeh HaLashon. This is a very, I don't know, knowing piece of the Ramban that again could perhaps be interpreted controversially only if you don't understand the Ramban. Vida, you have to follow inside. Are you with me? I want you to see the Lashon of the Ramban. I'm in the actual Sefer, so I don't even know where I'm up to on the handout.
Right,
I just want to make sure you know where I'm at. So it's the third paragraph about the fifth line down. Right? Because I photocopied and cut and pasted. I'm in the Sefer here. Vida. Okay? Ki Avraham Avinu. You ready for this? What does he say next? What did he say Avraham Avinu does? A big sin. Not only a sin, chet chata chet gadol bishkaga. Not only one level of sin. He sinned a very big sin inadvertently. You don't know where we are?
No, we're good.
I just used the paper. It's the exact same thing. Alisha, just give it to me, please. You have a double copy. I know. This way, when I want to say the line, I don't have to disturb anybody. Thank you. I didn't write an M in anyway. It's the same difference for me. Okay, Vida ki Avraham Avinu chata chet gadol bishkaga. So you could understand why if we don't understand this Ramban, it's a little bit problematic. Because who are we talking about here? Avraham Avinu. And what are we saying about Avraham Avinu? He sinned a very great sin. Look what he says next. Shehevi ishto hatzadekes b'michshol avon. He brings his wife to a stumbling block of sin. Because why? What's going to happen to her? And what does the power want to do to you? Take you. Hold on one second. He brought her to a stumbling block of sin. Because why was he afraid? they're going to kill me. So the Ramban says, what should he have done? Hayalo liftoach b'shem. What should he have done? Have bitachon. Where's your bitachon? Boteach, bitachon. In who? The name. Ayi Hashem. Sheyatzil also. Where's your bitachon that he will save you? Vas ishto and his wife. Vas kol sherlo and everything that he has. Ki yesh be'alokim koach la'azor v'la'atzil. Don't you believe that God has the power to help and to save? How could you run to Egypt? God tells you to go here. There's no food. You should have stayed in Canaan and you should have davened for manna. Min ha-shamayim, where's your bitachon? You did a big sin inadvertently by going down to Egypt and putting a stumbling block before your tzaddikus wife. This is the lashon of the Ramban. You can understand why if we don't understand the Ramban, it's very difficult to hear this Ramban. But Rav Schwab is going to have such a geshmak interpretation of this Ramban. Whew! I love it. Okay, let's go. Okay, gam. Okay, I lost my place, gam. Gam yitziato min ha'aretz. Also, his departure from the land. Shenitztava Allah, that he was commanded to go to her. But chila, in the first place, mipnei hara, because of the famine, avon asher chay. He didn't just do one sin. He did multiple sins. First of all, he put his wife in a compromised situation, precarious situation, and she's a tzaddikus. Second of all, he shouldn't have left the land in the first place. Why not? He was commanded to go there. Because Elohim, the Almighty, in famine can redeem you from death. Look what the Ramban says next. Because of this incident, Avraham Avinu voluntarily leaving Egypt, leaving Eretz Canaan to go down to Egypt, that is why his children were nigzar. It was decreed upon his children the exile in the land of Egypt in the hands of Pharaoh. B'makom ha-mishpa shema ha-rasha b'makom ha-mishpa shema ha-rasha v'ha-chote ad kan loma v'kasha. So the next word of Avraham Schwab is, this is difficult. But what's his difficulty with it? He doesn't say you should discard the Ramban. He doesn't say you shouldn't learn it. What's his specific question? If he sinned a great sin, if you go up, I didn't underline anything for you, but the beginning of the Ramban is right at the beginning, where it says, v'kasav ha-Ramban b'zeh ha-lashon, v'daki Avraham Avinu chet chata chet gadol b'shkaga. So if it's a chait, if it's a sin, and it's such a big sin, how could the Ramban say it's a shkaga? What's a shkaga? Inadvertent.
Not on purpose.
Not the opposite of mazid.
Right.
Okay?
Unintentional? Yes.
Okay. What did we have so far? Low maintenance, unintentional. We're doing well. I'm not making a joke. I'm being serious. Thank you. Hello, im hayat zarich lahavin shemin haro'ui lios boteach b'ashem harei b'klam mezid yachshov. If you're saying he should have stayed there and have bitachon in Hashem, how could he call that a shogeg? He knew what he was doing. He was leaving because there's no food and he's going to a new country. So was it b'shogeg? Shouldn't you call it b'mezid, which we would say is unintentional sin? The person who kills b'mezid, this week's parsha, is the Ir Mikla. He cannot run to the Ir Mikla. He didn't fall off the ladder and kill the guy underneath. He went and he took an axe and there were witnesses and he was warned and he chopped off the guy's head. The Ir Mikla's not for the person who kills b'mezid. The Ir Mikla's for the person who kills b'shogeg, who's chopping down the tree and someone's walking behind and he swings the axe and the guy dies as a result of his negligence. I think it's negligence. Negligence. So Rav Schwab, in his Iyun Tefillah, is not saying the Ramban's a problem because the Ramban says Avram sinned. Rav Schwab is saying, what exactly was the sin, and how do we classify it, and why did Avram do this, and how could we call b'shogeg negligence if it was really seems to be b'mezid? Yes, someone over there had a question. Yes, Shani? Was someone? No? Okay. So everyone's clear?
Yep.
Okay. Bottom paragraph of column one. So now he's going to bring us the Ibn Ezra, and the Ibn Ezra is going to help us with the answer. The pasuk says, keep your hand on the place and go to the beginning of paragraph 3, where Rav Schwab quotes the pasukim for you. Go up to the beginning of its paragraph 3. The pasuk says, he tells you, Tzlachacha, chapter 12, verse 10 through 11. The pasuk says, everyone look at my finger, so I'll show you where I'm up to. I want you to see the original Lashon. Vayehi Rav Baretz, there's a famine in the land, Vayered Av Mitzrayim Elagur Shama, and Aaron went down to Egypt to sojourn there, Ki Kaved HaRav Baretz, the famine is heavy in the land, Vayehi Kasher Hikrav Lavo Mitzrayim Vayomer El Sarai Ishto. The Ibn Ezra is going to talk about those words, Kasher Hikrav Lavo Mitzrayim, and explaining he was bringing something to Egypt. It doesn't mean when he came close to Egypt, according to Ibn Ezra. It means when he brought close to Egypt, who? That's the question. Kasher Hikriv. He brought something close to Egypt. What did he bring close to Egypt? Do you understand? You saw the Lashon? Now let's go down to the bottom paragraph on page 1. V'yeshu Faresh al pi divrei Ibn Ezra. Is everyone with me on the paper? I want to make sure you all know where we are. Okay. No one's saying no, so I assume that means
I'm
yes.
No, I don't know where we are.
Thank you. So tell me.
Okay, thank you.
You'll have to tell me. So we're all together and we all know what's going on and we're going to resolve this together. Good, Baruch Hashem. Ain't a bai shall know me. Let's go. V'yeshu Paresh al pi divrei Ibn Ezra. Al vayehi kasher hikriv Avram lavo mitzrayma. V'eino kasuv ma hikriv. If someone is makriv a korban, hikriv a korban, it means he brings the animal to the altar. He's bringing something close. Ibn Ezra says that the lashon of the pasuk doesn't mean Avram came close to the border of Egypt. Rather, Avram brought something down to Egypt. And the question is, what did Avram bring down to Egypt? The Einu Kasuv Mahi Kriv, third line of last paragraph. Upeirush. So the Ibn Ezra explained, Shahakavana hi shehikriv machanehu. Who did he bring with him to Egypt? Remember in 12:5, it says he goes with Sarai, his wife, and Lo benachi ve'asan nefesh asher asu b'chara. And Rashi tells us there, who were the nefesh asher asu b'chara? And Sarah was Megayer, it's not in this order. Aaron was Megayer ha'anashim. Sarah was Megayer ha'anashim, and they brought them with them. So now, let's imagine, they get to Canaan, and there's a famine. So what do you think? Avram, the great patriarch, the Avram, Mungayim, even though he doesn't have a hay yet, the father of many, he's going to say to all these souls that he just brought with him from Haran, you stay here and starve to death. I think I'm going to go down with my wife and my nephew to Egypt. What do you think Avram, the Bechinas Chassid, the epitome of Chassid, would do? He would take everyone with him. The Ibn Ezra says, Ka'asher hikriv lavo mitzrayma. Doesn't mean when he came close to the border of Egypt. It means he brought, he was makriv people to Egypt with him. Shehikriv machanehu. Shehikriv hu lashon hifil. It means bringing something down with him. She'ikar sibas yurida social Avram haisa machmas machanehu. Important. Why did Avram go down to Egypt? What did Rav Schwab just say based on the Ibn Ezra?
He was taking care of his crew.
Oh. He went to Egypt. What?
He had a big responsibility.
He had a responsibility for the machane. Ikar, the main reason. Ikar sibas yurida social Avram haisa machmas machanehu shaharei imo esa nefesh asher asa bechara. And it's a paraphrase of verse 12:5. So you understand why he went down? So what's Ibn Ezra saying? He didn't go down because he lacked bitachon. He went down because he had a responsibility to
all these people.
All these people. Now maybe he's a tzaddik, Rav Schwab is going to go on to say. But what about everybody else? He better get food for them somewhere. The Hagam, last line, paragraph, last line, column 1. Second to last line, column 1. The Hagam shu haya boteach la'atzmo shelo yuzak al yad harav. Even though he did have bitachon for himself, that he would not be harmed by the famine, chashav sha'asur lo lios boteach basham al cheshbon acherim. He didn't think he had enough zchusim for what? To save everybody else in the famine, even though he had bitachon for himself, that he knew Hashem and he listened to Hashem and he did not question. Lo hear her achar midosav shal kolish baruchu. So fine, shasali kol tzarki. What, remember what bracha we're talking about? Shasali kol tzarki, na shasal bnei adam kol tzarkehem. You made for me what I know. I have bitachon, but I have all these people. I'm there on a lower level, and I don't think I have enough zechusim to save all of them. Chashav sha'asur lo, reiterating last line of column 1. Sha'asur lo lios botech b'Hashem al cheshbon acherim u'bishvil machanehu. Top of column 2, important. U'bishvil machanehu shelo yamusu b'ra'av yarad l'mitzrayim. Yarad Mitzrayim. Why did he go down to Egypt, ladies? For the benefit of the camp, that they shouldn't die by famine. Okay, so now we're going to resolve how we understand, did he sin or didn't he sin? Was it b'mezid or was it b'shogeg? Before we go on, is it clear till now? Okay. V'im tomar, im kein ma haisa hachet. So therefore, now you could say, if he had bitachon for himself, God will save me. But I have thousands, the Ramban says he had tens of thousands of students. I have all, let's say they didn't all go with him from Charan. Let's say even a thousand, let's say he had 500 people. So you're going to save me, but I have to take care of everybody else. So now you can say, how could the Ramban say it all was a chet? It wasn't b'mezid, of course. It wasn't b'mezid, we just established it wasn't b'mezid. He didn't lack bitachon, he had bitachon for himself. He was worried about feeding everybody else. Remember we start off by saying, worry about your ruchnias and worry about everybody else's. Gashmis, isn't that what he was doing? His ruchnis is fully intact. We know that. He's Avraham Avinu. The Rav says, I've quoted it before, quote, Rasalvechik says, and I quote, had Avraham Avinu asked questions, he would have lost the right to become the father of the Umay Yisraelis. Faith means not only to believe, but not to ask. I didn't have a problem with his bitachon. He's worried about his ruchnis, but he's worried about your gashmis, and he has hundreds, if not thousands, of people to feed. So it wasn't b'mezid. But it seems it wasn't even b'shogeg. It seems it wasn't a sin at all. We're still trying to understand the Ramban. Okay, so let's go on. Im tomar, line 2, middle of line 2, column 2. The im tomar, im kein ma'ai sachet. So now you could say, very good, what was the sin? Yesh lomar ki ba'emes, the truth, yesh lomar, it's possible to say, ki ba'emes, the truth of the matter is, ayodei zechuso ha'gedola shal Avraham Avinu, hayu kulam nitzulim meharav. The truth of the matter is, that Avram had so many zechusim, just like Moshe, one person after Chet Ha'egel, God wants to destroy the whole nation, and does he? No, of course he doesn't. Why? Because Moshe davened. Imagine the schism of Moshe Rabbeinu, that he, one person, through Koach of Tefillah, we're talking about Koach of Tefillah in our Sefer now, his Moshe Rabbeinu's Koach of Tefillah is able to save an entire nation from annihilation. God wants to destroy everybody and start again from Moshe. Moshe davens, Hashem says, Salachti kivaracha. So too, Avraham Avinu, he even preceded Moshe, of course, we all know the timeline. He had such zuchusim, a zuchus gadol of Avraham Avinu, everybody, Lamaisa, would have been saved from famine. Shaha hashkacha hamiyuchadash ala tzadik ki gam kein ala chonim al diglo. Which helps us understand, by the way, an added insight as to why Chazal tell you, tov l'rasha v'tov l'shchino. You understand what I just said? Tov l'rasha v'tov l'shchino. And also, asei lecha rav u'knei lecha chaver. Make sure you associate with positive people. Why? Because we always think it'll be a good influence on us, where if Schwab is telling us something else, the hashkacha that they are worthy of will spill over, so to speak. That act, let's look at the lashon again. Shaha hashkacha ha-meyuchad, that's the special supervision, divine supervision, hashkacha. I'm trying to translate every word. Shaha hashkacha ha-meyuchad, that's ala tzadik, the special supervision on a righteous person, he gam kein al hachonim al diglo, affects he who is in camp, in his camp. It means camp by his flag. It means who's camp with him. So of course, tov l'rasha, tov l'tzadik v'tov l'shcheinu. Why not only will he influence you positively, but some of that hashkacha miyuchadas will spill over to you as well. Yeah, you want to say something?
I was going to say the opposite is also.
Of course.
In other words, you have to be careful who your neighbors are.
100%. Oy the Rasha, oy the Shcheinu, Korach. Korach and Reuven, and Harcheik, because I'll say Pasha, 1 second, in Pirka Avos, Harcheik Mishachinra. 100%, it goes, unfortunately, it goes both ways. The Shefa Ra, Rachman Alitzlan, can spill over, but let's look at positively, the Shefa Tova, and the special Shkacha can also spill over. Therefore, yes.
But this all, I mean, Avram has this, I guess, same test or the same issue again later on in the same Parsha, when he has the Stom and Amora, and I mean, he tries to get his Ashkacha onto them, and he tries
and it doesn't work
multiple times for them also, and it wasn't.
Wait, that's different. No, that's not the same scenario. They were not in his Machana, they were not Chonim al Diglo. In Moshe's case, when he davened for the people, they were chona al diglo, you could say. I'm paraphrasing, right? Moshe and the people were encamped together. At this scenario and at this situation, Avraham Avinu's machana is camped with Avraham Avinu. Sodom and Amorah and the five cities of the plain are separate, are distant from Avraham Avinu. So yes, he's using koach ha-tefillah, but you can't say the hashkacha miyuchadis is spilling over because they're not, if they were camped with Avraham, they wouldn't have been in that situation in the first place. which is exactly what happens to Lot. It's beyond the scope of this evening's class. When does Lot undergo a fundamental change? Until they go down to Egypt, Lot is doing great. He's going to inherit Avraham Avinu. Something happens in Egypt, and it's after Egypt that he chooses Sodom and Gomorrah. It's after Lewd Egypt, where they want to kill you and take your wife, and Lot is swayed by the perverseness of the place. These are changed personality. They were not chonim with Avraham Avinu, so yes, he tried Korach HaTefillah, but they didn't have Hashkacham Yuchadas. Yeah, he still finished the piece.
After he stopped muzzling his...
Say it again.
Is that also when he stopped muzzling his sheep? Because that was really where the diversion...
Is that also?
Where he stopped muzzling his sheep.
Okay.
Was it after Mitzrayim? Because Lot was doing well, and then it wasn't just the lewdness of Mitzrayim, but it was there was an interaction between Avraham and Lot that Avraham's...
What do you mean an attraction?
No, interaction.
Interaction, I'm sorry, thank you.
That Avraham wanted the sheep to be muzzled and raised.
And Lot did not. That's after. That's when Lot. That's when Lot has a lot of rechush. That's when Lot is wealthy also.
Right.
He became wealthy in Egypt. Egypt, Lot undergoes a fundamental change in Egypt. Let's go on. Okay. And the truth is, because Avram's special hashkacha would have spilled over to those who are chon maldiglo, he did not need to leave the land where he was commanded to go. Aval, where I want you to know where I am, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lines from the bottom. After the period, it says, Aval Bishkaga. Yes, you see? Mm-hmm. Aval Bishkaga Haya. So we established it wasn't B'mezir. That's for sure. Now we're trying to establish, was it a Chayt at all? How could the Ramban say it was B'shogeg? It was B'shogeg because Avram Avinu should have known that his special Hashkach and his relationship would have saved everybody else. Aval Bishkaga Haya. That's why it was inadvertent. Unintentional. Unknowing, Shaharehu Chashav She'enu Kedai L'smach Al Zchusa, which makes sense. A true Anav would never think he has enough Zchusim to save everybody else. Shaharehu Chashav She'enu Kedai. He's not worthy L'smach Al Zchusa to rely on his Zchusim. Who V'lios Boteach B'Davar Shenogei Lipkoch Nefesh Al Achayim K'mivor. Is it possible that the souls of others will be sustained because of me? Avraham Avinu could not even imagine that he had enough Zchusim to, one second please, save everybody else. So Bishkaga means it was totally unintentional. It was totally inadvertent. Yes, he did an action, and that's why it's considered Bishogeg. He went down, and he did something, because he couldn't assume that he had enough Zchusim. One second. Vizahu Sha'asali. Now remember what Bracha actually... Wait, before we conclude. Okay, we're going to conclude, but Shani wants to say something.
No, I think he has a precedent that...
He has a...
A precedent.
Who?
Avraham. That he went into the Kirshana Eish and he was saved. And then his brother went into the Kirshana Eish and he wasn't. He didn't have enough Zchusim. So he probably... I can see very easily how he thinks, why would I have enough Zchusim to save...
But the brother was a Rasha. And the brother said, Rasha, it's right there in the Parshas Noach. If I'm saved, if Avram is saved, I'm with Avram. And if Avram isn't saved, then I'm with Nimrod. And then when he saw Avram saved, he jumped in, lo l'shem shemayim. These people who converted... Tachas Kamfei Shechina were apparently people who recognized Hashem, even if we weren't called, we were Jewish people. So they had some of their own Zchusim. They had to have had some of their own Zchusim. Again, Chonim al Diglo. Once again, his brother was not Chonel al Hizdegel. His brother was wishy-washy. And whose camp can I get in? Where ulterior motives? That's an understatement. Where will it be better for me? If you're saved, I'm with you. If you're not saved, I'm with the king. Vizahu. Yeah? Something else?
No, no.
Sha'asa li. I don't know what daika means. I would understand if it says dafka, but it looks very close to dafka. Okay? That's what it is in Sefer. Dafka kol tzarki. Aval la'acherim. Ein loma sha'asa lahem kol tzarkam. How could I say that Hashem, that sha'asa lanu kol tzarkenu? No. Why? What's he saying? Pshat? I should say that other people have a lacking. I should daven Hashem, help my neighbor, give them more parnasa, help them fill all their gashmias needs. For me, I have everything. But you should never daven, thank you Hashem, we have enough. For myself, I have enough, even though we go on to ask for more. For myself, I have enough. For everybody else, please give them more. I need to worry about my gashmias, my ruchnias, and everyone else's gashmias. So it would be presumptuous and haughty to say she'asal called sarkam for all men. I daven for my friend to have everything they want, everything they need to be successful in life. For myself, midas ha'histapkus b'mi'ut.
B'mi'ut?
Yes.
Mu'at.
Okay.
Mu'at,
potato, potato.
There you go. I'm from Canada. Although my brother's also from Canada and he can say it right. For myself, I have to be satisfied with a little bit. And it really helps us resolve this difficult Ramban, which is just geshmak. Yeah.
Okay. So last week we talked about...
Can I just make a bracha because I'm very thirsty. Bracha ta'adonai l'hinu malach olam shahakol mehi abedra.
Amen. And we're over time. The last week we talked about Leia, that she gave Hoda'at to Hashem, and she didn't ask for more.
Mm-hmm.
And Rachel asked for more, and she was thought to be had that whole beautiful...
Okay, so I need to say something about the Imahos, because someone asked me a question last week about the Imahos. The Imahos had one goal. I meant to actually follow up on the question that I was asked last week. The Imahos had one goal. It was to establish Knesset Yisrael. There were no ulterior motives. They were nevios. Rav Salvechik says about Avram and Sarah, I ask of you one thing. To raise Yitzchak, Yitzchak will have Yaakov, Yaakov will have Shivtika. What they did was totally and completely l'shem shamayim. They were looking to raise Knesset Yisrael. We can, and sometimes we cannot, take marriage lessons from the Shvatim, from the Imahos, from the Avos. For example, I'll give you another example. What kind of husband is Avraham Avinu? Excuse me, one second, ladies. Give me 2 minutes. What kind of husband is Avraham Avinu? The wife just begins being in the way of women. She's 9 years old. She's this old lady. He runs to her tent. He says, start baking. Today you would call him abusive. We can't look, no, I'm not making a joke. We can't look at the actions and the avos and the imahos in terms of social norms and marital therapy and counseling and techniques today. I'm happy you brought it up because I forgot I wanted to address this because someone privately asked me a question that along these same lines. Rachel asked for more because she was a neviya and she needed to have Binyamin. Yosef Hashem li ben acher, because Yaakov is destined to have 12 shots Fatim from who we all descend, and that makes up Knesset Yisrael. Binyamin, Bank Teifav Yishkan, Binyamin had the base of Mikdash in his territories between his shoulders. Today you would call Avram an abusive husband. Yaakov meets this girl at the well and he kisses her. Today you would say, Ashanda, what kind of shidduch is this? Today's social marriage therapy techniques, sometimes we can derive lessons from the Avos and the Imahos, but sometimes we cannot, because we are all subjective. We are very subjective. We're sensitive. We cry. We expect this from our spouse, that from my friend, this from my mother, this from my child. They wanted one thing. Give me some of your dudaim. I'm doing my ishtadlus to have children for 100% l'shem shamayim. And therefore, that's why she says, Havali banim v'yam ayim mesa anochi. What? I have no tafkid in life, not only in a personal mother level. What's my tafkid if I'm not going to be one of the imahos? Then I may as well be dead. I came here to be one of the imahos. So your question is similar, even though it's different to what I was asked last week. And I'm giving you the example at the well. Today you would say, maybe he's a rapist. He touched me. We would go for sexual harassment. I'm not making a joke. He kissed me at the well. I never met the guy before. This is how you say hello to a stranger? You're kissing me? The first thing he does, he kisses her. Today you would say, what is this? Today you would call Avram an abusive husband. They had a specific goal. It was to establish the Ummah Yisraelis. That's it. So we can't derive us. And what was your question? Rachel's asking for more children. 100%. We have to understand who we're talking about. L'shem Shamayim is not like me filling my needs and not being satisfied. B'ma'ut. Bemute.
No, what?
The point was different last week. We were saying that you couldn't ask minds that you believe Hashem would give you. That was a whole different.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, ladies, Mr. Chodesh Menachem Av for all. You are welcome to keep the handouts.